Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters Spiritual Talk Healing Dumb, right?
I don't know what happens when that goes on, boy, but sometimes it just wants to just cut itself short. This is Blog Talk Radio, Inside Matters Talk, Spiritual Talk Done Right, and you're listening to Duchess, and in a minute I'm going to bring Fabio on because everybody is loving what she has to say. But before we get into me and Fabio, I just want to let you know that we've decided to do this show in three, maybe four parts, because there's so much to talk about with regard to this spiritual warfare that's going on. We're talking about having to do a purpose list, and we need to get to that. We're talking about the spiritual revolution that's going on. And so we're going to be talking about these things for a while because we're going to be in the mix and in the fix and in the upheaval of all of this stuff for quite some time. So let me bring Fabio on so that she can jump right in here and we can start talking about our happenings this current week, because I've been feeling a little woozy and weird. Things have been going on in her life, and I'm sure, we're both sure, there's a lot of things going on in everybody's life that's in our listening audience. So, Fabio, your mic is open, and you can jump right on in here, and we can talk about our weeks, and then we can get on with the continuation of our show. You're with me?
I'm with you. Hello, Duchess. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm okay. You know, like you said, this has been a really challenging week. For some reason, it must be the fact that we're moving into a super moon. That's a new term that they use to describe full moons, blue moons, actually. And in this time, this blue moon will also be fully eclipsed. Although we won't experience it, we won't experience it here. In North America, as the eclipse of it showing up as a copper moon, but it's going to be happening, you know. And I know that when we spoke a little while earlier, you were saying that there was some things going on with you, and I could kind of hear it in your voice, you know. So I want to first touch in with you and continue that conversation because we really didn't get into it. But I'm hoping you'll share that with us now.
Well, these are things that if you look at them individually, they're little insignificant nothings. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Me being in a supermarket and all of a sudden I can't remember what aisle the seasoning is in when I'm in that aisle all the time. The manager
mm-hmm.
helped me to find the aisle. Then the next thing you know, for some reason, he's standing next to me as I'm trying to scan out my groceries and I scan in my discount card, but it didn't take. And so he comes
mm-hmm.
over like out of clear blue. He clears the machine, takes my discount card out of my hand and scans it off. And it took for him. Then as I'm walking out of the store, he calls me, ma'am, this is the third time this man has had to do something for me. Ma'am, I left my whole 12-pack of seltzer water just sitting there, and I'm walking out the store
mm-hmm.
with this one little teeny bag of stuff, and I went in there for the seltzer. So little individual things like that, and it's like making me say, and I'm feeling weird. I'm just feeling
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
totally disconnected. Then the
mm-hmm.
other night, I'm leaving work, and I'm getting ready to make a left-hand turn at this
mm-hmm.
huge, it's a huge intersection, crossroads to go on to the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's two left-hand turns waiting at a red arrow.
Right.
Now, the truck next to me is on my left side. I'm in the right lane. He's in the left lane. And
yeah.
as we're getting ready, when the light turns green, we begin to merge into making our turn. But what
yeah.
happens is it crossed my mind, wow, he's going real slow. I could really pass him, you know, and get in front of him as we complete this turn.
Right.
But something made me not do that. Because why am I? I'm not in a hurry. And so he's going slowly, but as I'm getting ready to come, you know, neck and neck with him, car shoots past him, across him, across me. This car done shot across the red light. Now, we got the green arrow to make the left turn. If I had decided to pass this truck next to me to go ahead and make my left turn ahead of him, I would have got head on with this car that went straight on across us.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And it's like, it's amazing that I'm seeing that. I almost got sideswiped into an accident. I either could have hit the car, broadside him, or he could have broadside me because I was going to go ahead and take the left turn. So these little things, I'm bringing my food into the table and I'm tripping, so I don't have any balance. So, you know, then just a lot of little things. I'm not happy about my primary care doctor all of a sudden. Things are just annoying me. And I'm picking up on things that are just not right. And I don't want to do anything hasty. Like just call them up and say, look, I'm getting a new doctor. Hello? You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't like the way your nurse, she called in my prescription wrong. What is wrong with this picture? You know, why can't you do things the way I need them to be done?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's just little things that's happening, and I'm beginning to get. Maybe it has to do with I got a birthday coming. I'm going to be a year older. Maybe this is what happened.
No patience.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. The patience thing, the no patience thing, I think is a theme that's flowing through a lot of situations this week. And I think that we all have to kind of slow down in order to make sure, make sure our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed, because this has been one of those weeks that I think is about, you know, we were kind of talking about spiritual attacks. And things that are happening and us having to deal with spiritual warfare. And those of us who are sometimes more attuned, you know, feel the effects first, you know.
Right.
And in order to, in my tradition, for instance, Ifá priests are always cautioned about rushing. Like, we're not ever supposed to move quickly. Not ever. If we think we're going to miss our bus, miss the bus.
Right.
If we think we're going to miss the airplane, you know, we have a ticket that we're going to have to pay $75 for to reschedule, miss the flight, you know, because in rushing, we miss what is very important for us to see, or in rushing, we move ourselves into situations. Like you said, had you not just been like, why am I rushing? I don't have anywhere to go. You would have moved into the line of fire of that automobile coming towards you.
I would have been gone. I mean, that car shot through so fast, he would have broadsided me, and I would have, don't tell him where I would have ended up at. Or the opposite would have occurred. He would have been just dead center me, and I would have broadsided him.
Right, exactly. So I think this is a time for thoughtful contemplation, you know.
I like those words.
My daughter this week broke her ankle. And, you know, I was, like, so frustrated because I have so many things on my list, my to-do list to get accomplished, right? So one of the things that I was supposed to get accomplished was getting together some articles for one of the volunteers that's donating her time to complete, like, baskets for our silent auction for the Arts Center, right? And so the first day that I was supposed to take it was Wednesday evening. That was the day that my daughter broke her ankle,
mm-hmm.
right? So we were in the hospital in the emergency room all night. So, and then the following Thursday, we had to go take her to get her cast the morning and so forth and so on. So I call and I say, listen, my daughter broke her ankle. I apologize, yada, yada. I'll be over there to see you on Friday. Well, Friday, I get a call from the nursing facility. It's a nursing home / rehabilitation center where my mentally ill brother-in-law has been residing. I am his power of attorney and his payee because his family, sometimes you're too close in those situations and you personalize things way too much when you're a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, it's just me recognizing, okay, he thinks like a five-year-old, he processes like a five-year-old, so I treat him like a five-year-old. Anthony,
and
come
how
on,
old
do
is
this.
He?
He's 52.
Mm-hmm.
So he is schizophrenic, bipolar, and he's suffering from atrophying of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we need to have custody of him, really, but he still believes he's able to function at a level that he's not able to function at. So he's been causing some difficulty at the facility that he was at. And so they just let him sign himself out against doctor's orders to go home. Now, he has no home. He's homeless, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They put him in a taxi cab and sent him on his way to someplace else where he never makes it to, right? So I'm like, oh, my, you know, I have to get this stuff. I have all of these commitments, right, in addition to the commitments that I have for him. And I finally realized something that I keep forgetting over and over and over again. You know, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I've rescheduled with this woman time and time again. I keep missing the appointments that I'm supposed to keep with her and so forth and so on until I remember this one thing, that sometimes people save you from dangers by simply
right.
being themselves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there are no accidents in the universe, right?
Right.
So you misplay, you know, you're like, my car couldn't work. So here's what you're experiencing. The seconds that it took for you to, that you lost, that you thought you lost, and the man coming to assist you to swipe your card and you leaving your water and all
right.
this stuff is changing that dynamic of you being in line of that car that could have killed you. It's giving you the opportunity to second think, to slow down a minute and go, why am I rushing? You know what I
right.
mean?
Right.
Whereas, you know, it's these milliseconds. And it's these choices in our lives. See, people aren't aware of it. It's the minor, it's the small, as we say in our culture, the small ebb that avoids
mm-hmm.
great catastrophe. So it's the small offering. You taking time to take that extra breath. You taking time to stop to contemplate. You taking time. It's those small things that help you avoid the greater catastrophes that may be waiting for you that you're just not aware of. This
and the other thing that I'm beginning to notice now that we're talking about this
mm-hmm.
On the air
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of people are in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not
what?
In a hurry. And so even at my job,
mm-hmm.
what's beginning to happen is I was beginning to feel kind of guilty, but I'm not
mm-hmm.
now because
mm-hmm.
they got this new system at the job where they're counting every
mm-hmm.
package we do and what length of time it costs us to do it. And
mm-hmm.
so one of the clerks has started to tease me because I'm always in the red
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I'm like the slowest clerk as far as how
mm-hmm.
many packages I process.
Mm-hmm.
And I went upstairs to the bathroom. I came downstairs. I went into the office to take off my jacket because it was kind of warm. I went over to another office to talk to one of the supervisors about some packages the driver had just given me. And then I go back to my computer, and here's my little 22-year-old supervisor walks over to me with her little handheld computer and says, I noticed that you haven't had any movement at your computer for the last 15 minutes. And I looked at her. Since when you start counting how many packs, what is this? And then I said to her real facetious, like, well, you know, maybe sometimes people have to go to the bathroom, maybe sit on the toilet and sit down there for a little while. You know, maybe it took a little bit longer than just to go up there and eliminate some water. You know, is it okay if I go to the bathroom? And then I was really annoyed, you know, because you see, with me, I have always been very, very focused on making sure a customer gets their package the next day. And it may take me a long time to research a package, and when I finish, you getting your package tomorrow. Whereas another clerk will just process your package through, and you getting a postcard tomorrow saying that we're holding your package here for the next 7 days. And if you know what I mean, I don't have any postcards.
Right.
I find all of my packages.
Right.
And it takes a little bit longer to do that. So I told the clerk. I said I live in the red and I don't mind being there.
Right.
How
do you quantify that? You can't quantify something like that.
Right.
And we are constantly being bombarded in a society that only appreciates the quick fix of immediate gratification. So what are we rushing towards? What are you rushing towards? Are you rushing towards death? You know, we have to really kind of step and take a look at where we're at in our lives in terms of being able to process all of what it is that we are going through and needing to, of what we believe we need to get accomplished. When, like I said, you could have been rushing Kosi to your death by, you know, going, I can just cut over in front of him because he's going slow enough. You know what I mean? For me to do so. Just because you are able to do it doesn't mean you should do it. You know. So I understand.
Tell me about your you say your brother-in-law.
Oh,
is
yeah,
he okay now?
He is not. He is AWOL. We have no idea where he's at. And it's scary because they released him without his medication. And so he is going to be going through withdrawals from benzos and lithium and all of these psychotropic drugs that aren't in his system that are designed to keep him somewhat rational and in alignment and to quiet the voices that talk in his mind all the time that tell him about hurting people.
Right.
And so, you know, I spoke to my partner about it. It's her brother. And she asked me, she said, why do you love Anthony so much? You just seem like you take so much care for him. And you know, it's hard to kind of answer those questions, you know, because for her, it's unusual. It's her brother, you know what I mean? But Anthony and I have our own particular relationship, even though he irritates the bejesus out of me some days. But I can't answer that for her, except for that I care about him. I can see the nature of his soul. And what he would be like had he not been fragmented by so much trauma in his life. He was originally adopted into their family. He's a biracial child who was given up in foster care to skinheads who tied him to a chair in a basement, abused him on a regular basis, and farmed him out. So when he came to a family that was very loving. This is his, when he was adopted into this family. And they gushed on him with love and so forth and so on. And he was very brilliant, but still disturbed because of everything that had happened to him. And it comes to find out that what caused him to have his first psychotic break was that he was leaving out to go to college early. He was getting ready to graduate, and he was like 16 years old. And the thought of leaving this very safe environment caused him to fragment, to just break
right.
open, you know?
Right. Well.
And so when you hear this story about Anthony, and you kind of have him, he tells you himself, he's like, I would not have chosen this for me. He was like, I would love to have a wife and children and live in a house with a picket fence and a cat. I don't know why he chooses a cat, but he chooses a cat. You know, I would love to have that dream, but I can't. I can't. It just went, it just all fell apart when I lost my mind, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
And you understand the struggle that he carries. Because, listen, in our tradition, they say there's always that one person in your family that carries the challenges for that whole line so the rest of
yep.
you all can go on and be successful.
In every single family, there is
right.
that one person.
Right.
You know,
so,
and
right.
I'm sure if I looked at my family, we could probably identify,
mm-hmm.
you know, in mm-hmm. each of our immediate families,
mm-hmm.
that one person. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, forget mm-hmm. about the whole extended family. Let's
right.
just talk about our little nucleus right here.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And then we got cousins with their little nucleus right there.
Right.
You understand?
Right,
and we
right.
got in-laws with their little nucleus right there.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And although we are extended families to one each
right.
other,
right.
we all have our own nucleus
mm-hmm.
with our troubled souls
mm-hmm.
that are in each one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And,
right.
Well, mm-hmm. you know, if we go on and we bring ourselves back to topic, we're going to continue discussion about the spiritual warfare, and all of that is a part of the spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
why we, as spiritual soldiers, we have to protect the disenfranchised.
That's
we have,
right.
We're their protectors. And while we may want to whisper about them behind their back, or they
mm-hmm.
get on our nerves, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
or they just driving
mm-hmm.
us crazy, and
mm-hmm.
why don't they grow up and do what they're supposed to do? I mean,
right.
you know, that's a part of the spiritual warfare.
Exactly.
You know? Why are
exactly.
we here? Why am I here?
Right.
Am I my brother's keeper? You darn right,
right.
I am.
Yes,
and we
absolutely.
Better not forget it.
Absolutely.
We
absolutely.
Better not forget it. You know?
Oh,
so.
My gosh. Yeah, it's true. You know, we want to often forget that we are spiritual beings. We live in this physical body that experiences physical discomforts. You know, I'm going to put it that way, because we experience pain and too cold and too hot and tired and hungry. You know what I mean? But there is something deeper going on, and we haven't really addressed as a people the spiritual assault that our lines of our lineage as African Americans have been under. Now, they want to talk about slavery as being something that's in the past, but they have done work and research that has found, like, as if I don't know this already, that those traumas alter our genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? so that those traumas then live in the very essence of our DNA. Okay?
Yeah,
so
right.
We're passing those traumas to
our children.
That's
and our children
right.
are passing them on to their children.
That's right. That's
and they
right.
don't realize
right.
it.
No. That's why the Native Americans say if you heal yourself, you heal seven generations behind you and in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, so when they've assaulted us, they haven't just assaulted us physically. They've assaulted us psychologically, spiritually,
emotionally.
Because, you know, they want to talk about, I'm going to get a little metaphysical here, about the inability for us to be able to time travel, but it's false. We're time traveling in our minds all the time. We're carrying those memories. We're moving back and forth through those lines of time all the time.
Well, I've been trained and I've been taught that as we move along in spiritual life, it's not lineal. It's a spiral.
Right, exactly.
It's a spiral.
Right, it is. Like
so
DNA.
My past is just as close to me as my future is to me
exactly.
and the next day and the next moment and the past moment that just happened
exactly.
a second ago.
Exactly.
It's all one motion at the same
right.
time.
Well, quantum
how to wrap
physics,
your head around that one.
Right. Well, quantum physics tells you that all possibilities are happening in your lifetime at the same time.
Absolutely.
Because you're talking about this spirit, this spiral. So quantum physics talks to you about that and that the only time it sets is when you focus on that one mind.
You need to cut it out because you got me tripping right now because I know something about quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I tried this with some people. I tell them all the time
mm-hmm.
that nothing is in existence until you focus your mind and your
That's
eyes on
right.
it.
That's right. That's right.
It's not in existence. So when you sit and you're looking forward, that which you think is behind you no longer exists because you're not even seeing
exactly.
it there anymore.
Exactly.
It's disappeared.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's,
and it's like so
the
cool.
The choice is gone.
Absolutely.
It has closed off. So this is what happens when you begin to talk about spirit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to talk about how ancestors work in your life. Because the ancestors are still available. They still have the ability to see all of the dimensions of the choices ahead of you.
Mm.
Because they're not confined to a physical body.
Absolutely.
They're pure spiritual energy. So they have all of the business. So when you go to speak to your ancestors, because I know you have a shrine. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I know you have a shrine.
I do.
So when you go to speak to your ancestors and they give you an answer, they're answering the question with the best possible outcome for you because they've already seen all of the possibilities. So when
Absolutely.
You talk to me about spiritual warfare, this is what I'm trying to explain to people.
Right.
That you can't deal with these things that are happening in your life with just a physical approach. You got to deal with it with a spiritual approach. Because, you know, they're talking about, oh, what do you mean, ancestor reverence, and you're talking about ancestor, you praying to your ancestors, and you are using them as intermediaries for you and all this other stuff, and that's unnatural. What are you talking about? We're doing it all the time. Ancestor veneration happens all the time. We are venerating Caucasian people's ancestors all of the time. Look at the
yeah,
dollar bill you
pass. Yeah.
Look at the dollar
Absolutely.
Bill
Absolutely. If you
passing.
Can honor the veterans
right.
that died in a war and to have the day
Come
off,
on.
If you can honor these past presidents on their birthdays and holidays, what do
Come
you
on.
Mean you can't honor your deceased relatives that came
Come
before
on.
You? What is wrong with you?
Right.
That's not blasphemous.
No, we're standing
honor
on the
them.
Backs and the shoulders and the blood of our ancestors. Look, we not here because Karanga said we are not here because they didn't kill. We're the ones who survived, even though they tried to kill us. I'm paraphrasing. Because they tried to kill our ancestors. They tried. We survived beyond that. Okay? We have come as answers to our ancestors' prayers. And we need to start behaving like that with each other. This young man used to say to me, how come you treat people so kindly? I say, you know what? Because my father's mother died 12 days after he was born, and he was born in 1917. And his two aunts came and got him and raised him. And the woman up the street, they paid to wet nurse him until he was 6 months old. I said, I don't know the name of that woman. So I never know if the person that I'm encountering is a descendant of the woman who saved my father's life so that I could be here today. I don't know. So I always treat those that I encounter with kindness, because it could be because of their blessing, their sacrifice. I mean, come on. How hard is it to get women today to nurse their own children, let alone somebody else's child? So, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, you know, people are going to have to stop defining themselves in reference to external things, you know.
Yes.
Because because they need to start defining themselves internally, in relation
mm-hmm.
to a higher entity,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that entity
mm-hmm.
that is your creator, that entity that is, you know, the maker of all things
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
within and without. And we
mm-hmm.
got to start
mm-hmm.
seeing ourselves as a manifestation of a
right.
higher thing, a higher
That's right.
frequency, you know.
That's right.
Like you said in the last show, you know, we got to get ourselves in alignment with that particular energy, and then
mm-hmm.
we can beam like the sun. And until we can grasp hold of that internal
right. That's right.
Individuation of the creator, because
that's
what we are. We're individuations
right.
of the creator,
right.
and
that's
everything,
right.
everything,
that's right.
in fact,
that's
is
right.
part of the glorious oneness of this whole entire universe, and everything beautiful in the world is already
right.
within us. We've just
That's
got
right.
to take hold of that and know
right.
that and believe
right.
that.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Come on, man. Yeah, I do know.
You
Even
know,
on those hard days when you're like, I'm feeling weird. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I feeling so strange? But what can you do? You know, it is an acknowledgement that we spend too much time running away from our shadow selves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I saw this movie, and I can't remember the name of it right now. It's unfortunate, but the guy was running away from his shadow self, and it was attempting to take him out. And it was only when he turned and faced his shadow self and embraced it as being a part of him that he was able to be successful at combating this thing he was so afraid of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have something that is of light and something that is of shadow about us. But if you are able to embrace that thing that is a shadow about you in a loving manner, in a nurturing manner, you can move it. We we talk about transforming challenges into blessings, and that's how you do it. That's how you do it. It's the perspective of how you see it. It's that notion of quantum physics once again at work. You can be like, somebody threw a knife at me, and see it as not a blessing. Or you could be like, oh, man, I needed a knife to cut my steak. Thank you. Or to cut my bread. Or to, you know what I mean? Use as a screwdriver to when we can't find the screwdriver. Whatever, you know. It's how
yeah,
we look
turn
at
those
it.
Lemons into lemonade. As the old saying goes.
Right.
You know?
They knew some things, though. They knew some
things.
Yeah,
they
things.
Did.
Our
they knew a lot back
knew
then.
Some things.
You
they
know?
Knew some things, and they try to tell us, but we think we have to reinvent everything in order to make it look like ourselves. That is the illness of being in a Western culture that has been colonized by European Americans.
Right, and everyone out there can go back and listen to and remember good old Michael Jackson's song, Start with the Man in the Mirror. Okay, because there may have been darkness for thousands of years, but as soon as the match is struck, there is light there. And if you're the only light, all you got to do is strike you.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
You can take a match and walk into a totally black, dark room, and all you have to do is strike one match, and it illuminates the whole entire room.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine
mm-hmm.
if you strike another one. And another
mm-hmm.
one. You're
mm-hmm.
the match that you have been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
start looking
mm-hmm.
inside because
right.
the light is there. You know,
right.
we're looking for it to come. We are that light that we're looking
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Exactly. We can't wait.
Right.
We can't
we got
wait.
To be.
Right. Always waiting to be rescued. Our ancestors weren't like that. They did. They did, you know? So, I don't know. I just
okay.
keep looking at it over and over again, Ola Yinkas, and
ready to
trying
down
to figure out.
Ready to get down with this purpose list, or you want to talk
yes,
about?
Yes,
so.
Let's talk about purpose list.
Okay.
Let's talk about purpose list.
Well, the purpose well, that's one of the most transformative moments for any of us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when as we go through that turning on the light, inside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got a list of questions that we can reflect upon
mm-hmm.
as we seek that purpose, as we
mm-hmm.
walk about wanting to write a new us and to find out why we're here in the first place. So
right.
why should we ask why? You know,
mm-hmm.
social change is hard, emotionally
mm-hmm.
trying work. You know, when you're trying to change yourself socially,
mm-hmm.
and it's often
mm-hmm.
done in the face of what feels like overwhelming odds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as hard as we really, really want to make it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why don't we just look at some of these questions.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that the author of these questions says, that when you're looking at these questions, don't worry that you don't have the answer to each
That's
one
right.
of these questions
because
right. these questions are designed to be jumping off points to help you uncover, rediscover, or increase
mm-hmm.
focus on your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Choose
mm-hmm.
one or two to reflect on or keep
mm-hmm.
this post, keep
mm-hmm.
keep your list, you know,
mm-hmm.
and come back to it time for time, you know, time and again.
Mm-hmm.
As I, my mouth gets all dry here. Okay, so let's do this.
Okay.
It says we should start with four questions, the first four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you how many they are, but it could take a couple of shows to go through this list.
Uh-oh.
This is the art.
Okay.
This is the purpose exercise in the art of leadership.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay. So not only are you going to discover your purpose, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to take you on a spiritual leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
accomplishment. Okay.
Right.
So let's talk about what gives you your life meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. What gives your life meaning?
Mm.
For me personally, I've given that some thought.
Mm-hmm.
I like helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
When I see other people succeed, I get the biggest grin on my face.
Mm.
When I can do something or impart some type of knowledge to somebody and watch them
mm-hmm.
grow with what I have
mm-hmm.
shared with them,
mm-hmm.
oh, man. And sometimes when I'm at my deepest, deepest depressed state,
mm-hmm.
what I'll do is I might think of somebody that I can do something for or somebody
mm-hmm.
that I can thank for having done something for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that's what gives my life meaning. Not so much
mm-hmm.
what I'm doing for myself.
Right.
It's how I'm helping someone. I mean, I'm in seventh heaven when I'm at UPS and I'm training somebody. And I watch somebody train and I get
wow.
them to a point where not only are they a clerk like me, but then I help them become a supervisor.
Wow.
And watch them move into one of the offices, and
right.
she's only 18, 20 years old.
Whoa.
I mean, it's like, I am the bomb. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to
yeah.
be in that office.
Right.
But I help
exactly.
her get in that office and tell her exactly what she needs to do to get in there. And if she
right.
follows my instructions,
mm-hmm.
Miss 18, 19-year-old, she's no longer a clerk like me. She's in the office working with the
mm-hmm.
drivers one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
figuring
mm-hmm.
out their schedules and their payroll. Okay?
Wow.
And
wow.
I feel so proud of that.
Wow.
So, you know,
wow.
this is what gives my life meaning.
Wow.
Okay? And it also answers the next one, what brings you joy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay? So your turn.
Oh my goodness.
Your turn.
Well, it's changed for me over the years.
Right.
It really has. You know, it keeps changing. I would imagine that it will keep transforming and transmuting and transforming and transmuting. At this particular juncture in my life, what gives my life meaning is family.
Mm.
And they actually tether me to love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had some serious traumas over my life, over the course of my life. And as of late, after I was initiated into my priesthood, now, the interesting thing about initiation in our culture, and I can kind of talk a little bit about this, is that they give us medicine that raises our kind of spiritual vibration. I'll say it kind of like that. And what it does, though, is neutral, you know. So it raises everything that is of light and everything that is of shadow about us also,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it is designed to do that so that it challenges you at your foundational, fundamental level of existence so that you can become the shaman that you need to be. Okay. So what happened during that time was that I lost my sister. She was a domestic violence victim, and she was murdered by her partner. He starved and tortured her to death.
Mm.
And so for me, that caused a spiritual dilemma, and it made me have a crisis of faith. And yes, it does happen to those of us who are also charged with helping to take care of other people's faith, you know.
Right.
And so I eventually worked through that process, right? And in coming through that process, it was always my family that was there supporting me through all of the darkness, through all of the drive or what have you, it's my family. And so they have foundationally become what is important in my life, what defines my life, what brings me joy, and what keeps me tethered to love. So I think that's my answer for now.
Okay.
And, you know, that in spirit. You know what I mean? It's spirit, and then it's my family. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. Now, another one of the questions is, how is life calling you? You know, and who needs the gifts you bring? Now, for me to answer that question, to me, my grandchildren. Okay. My grandchildren, and this is the truth, and I'm not exaggerating it, they make my heart sing, okay? When I see them, there is something that goes totally different from my children. There is something that goes on inside of me, my heart, that makes it sing. I have the little one, she'll be 3 in May in California.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And I don't get to see her like I see the others. And when they try to Skype me, if I'm not home, she leaves me a video. Her and her father, and they leave me a video, and she's eating, and I see him, and she's saying, "Hi, Grandma," and he's saying, "Wave to Grandma," and I get tears in my eyes, because here's this little baby saying, "Hi, Grandma," and waving to Grandma, and there is no me that she's looking at. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it just makes my heart so sad. So when it says, how is life calling me?
Mm-hmm.
I think life calls me to be here for them, you know, and I appreciate the fact that whether it's divining the cards, I want you to know my 13-year-old granddaughter, she has her own cowrie shells that, I've given them to her, and it's so cute because she's 13. I gave them to her when she was about 11 or 12, and I sat there at the altar with her, and I showed her my coconut shells, because I have the coconut shells, and I was going to teach her, okay, how to shake her shells, and she looked at me before she did it, and she says, "Now, Grandma, if I ask a question, and these shells, when I throw them down, I have to do what they say?"
Right.
And I told her yes. She said, "Well, Grandma, I don't think I'm ready to do that right now."
That's right.
But that was the cutest thing.
She understands choice.
I don't think I don't think I'm ready to do that right now.
That's right. Choice is always involved.
Right. But I mean, let's see. The 6-year-old, she has her own deck of cards. They're unicorns, you know. She has a deck of
oracle cards.
And hers are unicorns. And my grandson, his a water divination. The different crystals in the water. And so 13-year-old, hers are her oracle cards are fairies what's the fish? Fairies and dolphins.
Mermaids.
Fairies and
dolphins.
Okay. So and each one of them, they have their cards on a shelf under my altar. You know, their cards. So they come over here, and I have them give me readings and stuff. But that's what calls me. You know, this is how life calls me. It calls me to hang out with them and to share all those things that I know how to do or work with spiritually. I share with them. Okay? And you, dear heart, how is life calling you? And who needs gifts you bring?
I think life calls me to be present. I'm going to have to say it like that because I don't know how to define it any other way. To be fully present in what it is that I do. Because I often, this is the work that I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I can be so distracted by shoulda, coulda, woulda, and the list that I make and so forth and so on that I fail to be present so that I am enjoying what it is that I'm in the process of creating. Okay. So whatever that is, if that's me being present in the process of creating more loving intimacy with my partner or a better relationship with my daughter or more patience with my nephew or wonderful conversations with my mom
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know, life is definitely calling me to be present. And in that presence comes the medicine that I bring, particularly in this incarnation as a priest. So I don't know how to explain it outside of that. Maybe I can say it more like this. Each of us is born with a particular talent. Like you are now imbuing part of that essence of your talent, your grandchildren with part of the essence of your talent. You're imbuing
mm-hmm.
them with that. For me, my talent, I think, is being present in the moment so that I can channel whatever spirit has as a gift for the person and as a gift for myself. That's my
mm-hmm.
talent in my priesthood. So
that's it? Not that that's not enough, but I'm just saying, are you complete?
I don't know how to explain it outside of it. Like, Rachel says it like this. She was like, I have not ever seen anyone get exactly what it is that they ask for. But you get exactly what it is that you ask for. I was like, it can't be. That can't be because I haven't gotten $1 million. You know what I mean? And she said, have you asked for it?
I was thinking the same thing. Have you asked for it? But then, you know what? Sometimes, even if you ask for it, there is the question behind the question.
Right. Are you ready? Are you
willing?
Thank you.
And so that negates, that just erases the fact that you asked for it. Because behind that asking, you may be afraid to get it.
Right.
You know,
well,
I don't know what would I do with
$1 million.
You know, I wouldn't know what to do. But you see, you've already negated the fact that you've asked for that $1 million. Because I thought about Powerball many times. Then I start thinking everybody in the world would be knocking down my door and everything. You know, how do I deal with that? You know, but I'm sure if I learn how to deal with it.
Exactly. So I said, so this is my talent. So what she does is she's like, go and ask people this. You know, this is what I do for the art center. Go ask them this. Go speak to them. I said, what you have to understand is that my talent doesn't necessarily work the same over the phone as it does face to face. And so I often have to go visit people face-to-face. They told me a long time ago that I have creative spirits that surround me that love to work. And particularly whenever they hear the word never, they go to work to make it happen so that it's not hardly ever. You see what I'm saying? They change the never.
Right.
So people have said to me, well, we never get a bonus, blah, 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 here. While we've worked here, they've never given us a bonus. I said, don't ever say the word never in front of me.
Ah.
You know, and that year, my creative shift, they're like, this is the first time ever we've gotten a bonus. I was like, yeah. You know? So it's kind of like that. That is my particular talent. It heals a certain way, and it interfaces with people a certain way, and it requires that I be present and emotionally available. So that is how life calls me. I have to be present and emotionally available in order to have my gifts work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, not during showtime, but you and I gonna have a little discussion about what Ola Yinkabami Deli means and why I'm not walking in the energy or the essence of that name. Okay, because that name comes with a lot of spiritual wealth and power, and I'd really like to know. We got to work on that, you know. As a matter of fact, that is something I think I'm going to work on, period.
Right. That is going to become one of your put that on your purpose list.
That is on my purpose list, okay, you know, in this lifetime. And I got to put it in this lifetime because
That's right. It's
like, come on now. I mean, I can have a purpose list and I can want to walk in the essence of that name, but if I don't put in this lifetime, they'll hold off until how many lifetimes, you know what I'm saying? But I was told many years ago that, and I may have veered off course, but at this 20 years, you see, you and I have been knowing each other for over 20 years. It's been over more than 20 years.
I did not tell that, you all. I did not tell that. Okay, go on.
Yeah, for over 20 years, that's fine. I mean, that's cool for the audience to know this, you know, because you and I have been knowing each other for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back then during the time we were first meeting that I was given a reading, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was told at that time I was on purpose.
Right.
I was on my purpose, my destiny at that very moment, at that time.
Right.
Now, no telling what's happened since then. And as I've evolved or through the years with that purpose, I've had aura pictures taken, and it's been to blow people's mind because my aura was pure white. The light around me was pure white. People had never seen a white aura before, you know?
Yeah.
My aura is not white anymore.
Mm.
I don't know what happened to it, you know? But then I had someone tell me that as I evolved in the day and time that we're living in now, it would not do for me. I do not need a white aura.
Wow.
You know, I may need the aura that I may need the warrior's aura now.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Whereas the white aura was totally spiritually connected with the divine, and I was like on purpose, and I was like there.
Right. Exactly.
So as we evolve, our auras, the energy field around us, automatically finds its. You know, its purpose as well, and it reveals who we are in that moment.
Exactly.
You know, well, I thought I was real special with that white aura, honey. You couldn't tell me nothing. You know, you really couldn't tell me anything. And I have the pictures. I have pictures with it.
Oh, wow.
You know, so people can see. If they don't believe me, I got them pictures showing it. You know.
I will have to see that.
I will. Yeah. So, these are the gifts that you bring.
Right.
These are the gifts that I bring in this day and time. And I'm not going to tell you how many questions that we have to go through because we'll never get through them in the time that we have. You know?
I'll give
and
you
the next show, we're going to have to talk.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about people who are empaths, you know, desensitives. Yeah. So sensitives who, like you say, are feeling this stuff, and the moon is taking its eclipse, and it's throwing us a helter-kelter, and you know, a helter-skelter, if you want to say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot going on in the Earth's the Earth's doing her thing, and in the meantime, we're having our thing done to us, too. Because we're water. As that moon
right.
is pulling on the ocean, it's pulling on the fluid that's within our bodies as well.
Right.
You know?
So drink more water, people. Make sure you stay as hydrated as you possibly can. You know? That was just an aside. It came to my mind, so I thought I'd share that while I was thinking
share
about
it. Because I noticed that I've been looking at my skin, and I've been seeing a fine sheen of ash. Like no matter how much water I drink, my skin does not seem like it's moist. It's hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems dry all the time, and I can't figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, so something is sucking the water out of me.
Right. Well, the environment is changing too. I mean, we're having to deal with so much here now that we're not even simply aware of. I mean, they don't really talk to us about some of the things that are even happening in our environment because they simply don't want to freak us out. You know, I worked for a year and a half at the Department of Environmental Conservation about 15 years ago, and I worked in all places for the Water Department. And I think this is interesting because one of the deities that walks with me is Olokun, and Olokun is like Neptune, which is like the god of the sea, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was in the water department, and I would talk to the researchers and scientists from time to time, and one of the scientists told me he was working on something called the feminization of fish.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, the feminization of fish. He was
like
studying
feminine?
This. Yes, like...
Like female
like,
feminine?
Yes, like feminine. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what was happening was that the fish have the ability to switch on and become either more male or switch and become either female or male, depending on what the environment was. So, for instance, in the environment, if there were too many female, some of the fish would switch and become male so that they would ensure procreation and vice versa. If too many males, someone would switch and become female. Well, what was happening was they, about like 15 years ago, they were noticing that a lot of the male fish were switching and becoming female. So the numbers of male fish were going down. And so the male researchers, human male researchers, weren't really interested in it. The female human researchers were more interested in it because they're like, huh, what's going on? You know, we want to understand if there's something that could be affecting our population. So they began studying it and seeing that this process was moving up the evolutionary chain. So it wasn't just happening to fish. It was happening to frogs. It was happening to turtles. And it was moving on up, right, to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, so it was affecting men, the water that we were drinking through our systems, you know, like the purification systems in our towns, villages, cities, and stuff like that, was affecting men. And it was causing them to have lower sperm counts, right? And so they were like, what's going on here? Because their fear was that in less than four generations, men would be sterile in North America. Studying this. And what they realized was happening was that all of the hormones and all of the pills and everything that they were giving to women and all of the antipsychotic drugs and everything, we were pouring them down. You know how you don't use the pills
pouring
anymore? You
down.
Just pour
yeah,
them down
know.
The sink.
Yep.
Right.
It's in the water supply.
Right. It was in the water supply. So I was like, what? Why aren't you notifying people that this is going on? And they're like, because we don't want to start a public scare. Right? And so I'm like, okay, well, what do you have to do? Because what they found out, more importantly, was that when they stop drinking the water, you would think that once you stop, you would reverse, their effects would reverse. But it was altering men at a genetic level, at their DNA level. So it was changing them and then changing their children and then changing, you see? So they thought in four generations, if some sort of intervention did not occur, men would potentially be sterile. And that's not very long, okay?
Right.
So what they found out is what you can do is you can buy a filtration system that has a carbon filter, charcoal-based filter that
yes.
you can affix to the water supply that comes into your house, and
mm-hmm.
that would filter out all of that stuff. But as you see now, they started programs where they say, don't pour your medicine down the sink, bring them
right.
in.
Bring it in,
that's
and then they
that.
Will
that's
dispose
of
it for you, and that's without,
right.
that's their way yeah. of not telling you the reasons why.
right. You,
you know,
it.
You know
so,
especially if men are going to be sterile, you know they don't want that.
right.
You know?
And it's not just the hormones. Think about all of the psychotropic medication.
Yeah.
yeah. So, oh, my gosh. So, anyway, that's
well,
that's my
you know
story.
What? We've what? Gone over our time.
Oh, no. Okay.
You say, oh, no, that one is getting good. Don't want to go.
No, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make sure it's 5:59. I'm going to have to start setting a beeper on me or something.
No. What happens is I usually let the show go over a little bit, but I just don't want folks that are listening to us say, well, when they going to end that show? Well, I was only supposed to be on for an hour. What's up? Why? When they gonna stop talking? You know. Mm-hmm. So we don't wanna overwhelm our listening audience. Although
yeah,
I see, you know, people are still just now coming on. Come on. So they'll just have to hear it. All shows are archived from as far back as 3 years ago. You go to Blog Talk Radio. Inside Matters Talk, and you can find shows that we did 2 years ago still online, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I make sure that even when I'm not having a show, I will keep my membership. I will pay my fee because that holds mm-hmm. all of our shows in the archives. People can go, mm-hmm. you know, as often as they want. So we're calling this... This show, part three, if you missed part one, the last show and the show before that, you're very welcome to go online, Blog Talk Radio, /Inside Matters Talk, and we'll talk to you some more, and you'll hear what the previous two shows on this topic has been. So, next show for bio, we're going to finish up with the purpose list, because it's a list. It's a list of questions, and what you and I will probably do is go through some of these questions so that we're not asking all of them. We'll just do some key, and you're going to help me with my purpose, my Ola Yuka Bambidobi, okay?
Exactly.
And we're going to talk about are you an empath, and we're going to talk about an empath because you don't necessarily have to be an empath to be a sensitive. You can just be sensitive to the stuff around you, even if you're not holding it as a psychic. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we're going to revisit the clears. I love doing the clears. You're going to do clear audience, you know, clear audience. You're going to do clear, all the clears.
Okay.
I love doing the clears, you know.
Okay.
Clairvoyance, clear audience, clear goose sense, all the clairs. We'll be visiting them in the future as well because those are fun.
Yeah.
I would say, those are fun. You know, and that's so that people out there don't think they're going crazy. When they start hearing stuff, it's like, hey, you're really hearing it, okay? Right. Well, not only are the ancestors still hanging out with us, but, you know, we got multiple dimensions that's right here
exactly.
and now. You know,
exactly.
and sometimes
exactly.
when you're sensitive, you dip into the other dimensions, too.
Right, exactly.
You know? So
and sometimes that's
thing.
What mental illness is. You're fragmented into all of these different dimensions, and you can't exist. You know, you can't cohesively bring them back together to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of family members of those persons who are having, you know, having very sensitive problems will
mm-hmm.
like knowing this. That
yeah,
this is all
yeah.
a part of, you know, spiritual growth in many ways.
Right.
So anything you want to say before we sign off?
Nothing, but thanks again for having me hang out with you. It's been nice. It's been wonderful.
I enjoy having you hang out with me. It's really, really a great experience. We should have done this long time ago.
We should have, but
instead
hey,
of holding all
are.
Our conversations on the phone, just you and I.
It's
okay.
true. It's true.
All right. Okay.
Care,
love and hugs to you and your family. I want to say thank
you
to all of our guests out there. For bio, say good night.
Good night.
Okay. Good night, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And we look forward to our little chit-chat the first Sunday in February. Okay? Mm-hmm. Stay blessed, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.